Now, what do you think that music's all about? Can you tell me? God. That's just what I thought you'd say. Cowboys, bandits, horses, the Wild West. I know my little daughter, Jamie, who's 5 years old and who's sitting up there, agrees with you. When she heard me play this piece, she said, "Ooh, the Lone Ranger song. I owe Silver." Well, I hate to disappoint her, and you too, but it really isn't about the Lone Ranger at all. It's about notes, E flats and F sharps.
If there ever was a figure with a knack for making classical music accessible, it was Leonard Bernstein. Bernstein was famous for his work conducting the New York Philharmonic, for his opera, West Side Story, and for his legendary televised series called Young People's Concerts that shared classical music with children. Jamie Bernstein Thomas learned about the thrill of classical music firsthand as the eldest daughter of Leonard Bernstein. Anne Strainchamps talked with her about growing up in a house awash with music.
It was kind of like water to a fish. It was just the air we breathed. There was music everywhere. There were several keyboards in the house. There was the piano in my father's studio, of course, where he composed and practiced. And then there were two pianos in the living room so that there could be, you know, music fests of one sort or another, usually impromptu, you know, guests after dinner, that sort of thing. And then in the library, there was, for many years, a harpsichord. And this harpsichord was very beautiful. It was, you know, handmade in Boston and was painted beautiful colors and was really a beautiful instrument. But, you know, it just sounded like a harpsichord.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we spent most of our lives in the library, not in the living room. The living room was for big parties, but the library was like the family room where the TV was, and that's where we always wound up before dinner or after dinner. And so whenever something came up that was a musical question, my father would always fly over to the harpsichord to play whatever it was we were talking about. So there was this one Supremes song that we would hear on the radio all the time in the car when we would drive to and from our country house in Connecticut. I think it was You Keep Me Hanging On. And You Keep Me Hanging On is a kind of musical optical illusion. You can't tell, or at least my father couldn't tell, where the tonic was. He kept hearing it where I thought the dominant was, and we would have this argument over and over again, and he would fly over to the harpsichord, and so you've never heard anything so funny as You Keep Me Hanging on the harpsichord. But somehow, whatever we were talking about, it was always on the harpsichord. It had a very funny sound to it.
So did you grow up sort of thinking of a great many famous pieces as being always being played on the harpsichord?
Yes, there were many pieces that just wound up being worked out on the harpsichord where they didn't really belong at all. But
I was like, oh, my so God, I didn't know Mahler wrote for the harpsichord.
Yeah, you'd be amazed at who wrote for the harpsichord. Everybody from Lennon and McCartney to Hoagy Carmichael.
So I love this picture that you all had sort of arguments and discussions about music constantly and that you'd be fighting it out with each other and playing musical examples. That's what it was like?
It was sort of like that. Well, the thing was that my father really liked the music that my siblings and I were listening to on the radio. He liked pop music. And he loved the Beatles and he loved the Stones and he loved Motown. And luckily for us, the music we were growing up with was incredible. So we kind of learned about music because our dad would talk about music through the music we were listening to. And in fact, a lot of these discussions wound up as the source material for his Young People's Concerts that he would write later that year. So, for example, we'd be listening to Pretty Ballerina by the Left Bank on the radio, and my father would say, "Hey, this song is in the Phrygian mode. You know what a mode is?" "No." And so pretty soon he'd be telling us about modes. Then the Kinks, You Really Got Me, would come on. And he'd say, "Hey, this one's in the Mixolydian mode." Mind you, I'm getting this all wrong now. I've forgotten. But pretty soon we were having a whole modes discussion. And what do you know? His next Young People's Concert was What is a Mode? And he actually played the Kinks' You Really Got Me on the piano in front of the audience at Avery Fisher Hall.
They must have loved that.
And the kids loved it. They would squeal and squirm in their seats and be all embarrassed, and it was great.
Did he play a lot of classical music also, or did he mostly connect with you and your brother musically through, you know, your own music?
No, we connected through classical music too. The best way to do that, there were two really good ways to do that. One way was to accompany our dad on the Young People's Concerts day, which consisted of starting out at about 5 in the morning, getting up super early and going with him over to the hall where he would have first a camera rehearsal and then a rehearsal with the orchestra, and then there would be a sort of dress rehearsal in front of an audience at noon, and then with the cameras rolling, and then they would do it again at 2. That was the supposedly real concert. So by the end of that day, you really knew those pieces. And the other great way to learn about music was to go on the road with our dad, and boy, was that fun. We would just get to hitch a ride on the plane with him and, say, the New York Philharmonic, and go to all the cities they were going to, and you'd hear the same bunch of programs over and over again each time you went to a new city, because they had this repertoire of, say, you know, half a dozen pieces that they would rotate from city to city. So on one of those trips, I came out of it knowing Mahler's Symphony No. 5 and Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique pretty much by heart. It was great. And of course, the better you know something like that, the more you like it and appreciate it.
Did you just take all this for granted? Was it just sort of the language you spoke, or were you aware of what a sort of rarefied life you were living?
Well, you know, I don't think we really got it about how illustrious our dad was until the Flintstones episode where Wilma Flintstone was all excited because they were going to the Holly Rock Bowl to hear Leonard Bernstein conduct. That's when we realized he must really have hit the big time. Before that, the penny had not really dropped. But you know how it is. Your life is what it is, and you don't really think about it too carefully. And it really is only now as an adult that I can look back and realize, wow, that was amazing.
What was it like learning to play an instrument when your father was Leonard Bernstein? Was that hard?
Well, this is an interesting question. You know, To this day, I wonder why it is that some children of accomplished musicians become musicians themselves and others do not. You look at Isaac Stern, both of his sons are conductors. Or you look at Rudolf Serkin, his son is a pianist, Peter Serkin, and so forth. But in our family, for whatever reasons, and I don't really know what they are, we did not succeed in becoming accomplished musicians. We took piano lessons. We hated them. We never practiced. We were, you know, shirking and you know, playing our pieces half an hour before the teacher arrived at the house, that sort of thing. So none of us became a very good musician, although we're big, big appreciators. We love music, and we're surrounded by music all the time. We go to concerts. Our friends are musicians. So it's very much in our lives. And I myself am a songwriter, and I play piano and guitar, but not very well. So I don't really consider myself an accomplished musician.
My father's a music historian, and I hated practicing the piano because he always seemed to be in the house, and I was intensely aware that he was always listening and that he heard every single mistake that I made. Was it like that for you?
It was like that for me. You know, I knew how music was supposed to sound because I heard it all around me. And then these frogs and toads would come out of my fingers at the piano. And the disparity between what I was producing and what I knew it was supposed to sound like was so enormous that it just seemed hopeless to ever get there.
You went to your father's Young People's Concerts. Did he ever go with you to, you know, rock or pop concerts?
Oh, yes, he did. I dragged him to many a concert. I dragged him to hear The Who at the Fillmore, and they were doing Tommy, so that was very exciting. I dragged him to see the Stones. I did not have to drag him, mind you. We went to see the Stones at Madison Square Garden, and that was totally thrilling, and I think Sly and the Family Stone was opening for the Stones, so it was an incredible concert.
So what was it like to go to a concert like the Stones with Leonard Bernstein?
Well, it was really fun because, for one thing, we got to go backstage. That was the best part of all. And for another thing, it was a very good place to take him to because it was loud, and so you wouldn't notice that he never stopped talking. Going to a classical music concert, now that was the challenge with him because he never stopped talking.
What was he saying?
And he would sing along, and he would say, oh, he's taking it too fast. The tempo was wrong there. And, you know, he never stopped with the commentary. And it was very embarrassing. Thank you.
Jamie Bernstein Thomas is the eldest daughter of the legendary composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein. Anne Strainchamp spoke with her.